The first reading this morning comes from the first letter to Peter, the third chapter. Finally, all of you have unity of spirit, sympathy, love of the brethren, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Do not return evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless, for to this you have been called, that you may obtain a blessing. For he that would love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking guile. Let him turn away from evil and do right. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those that do evil. Here ends the reading.
Let's turn to the Word. This is the Word from God. This is the Gospel. If it is your tradition and you're able to stand, I invite you to do so. This is from Luke, the 10th chapter, beginning with verse 38. As they went on their way, Jesus entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, so she came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." The word of the Lord. Some of you were thinking when Melissa came to put out the candles, hey,
I hope that the sermon lives up to your expectations and that we enjoy ourselves remaining. I'm going to set my mirror here so I can see the screen without having to turn around backwards. We'll see if it will work. Happy Mother's Day.
Mothers are, by definition, those who give birth. Is that true? Isn't that the correct technical definition? It's a female of the species who bears progeny, right? But there's more to that. There's more to it than that. There's more than just making a baby. There's also the other kinds. There's adoptive mothers. Think about those. And think about how in our lives some of us have lived as those who have raised and served the mothering function for children who have been those who have added that mothering ability. We begin and we look at the face on this little one. Don't you wish you had that kind of enthusiasm on the face of all the choir members every time you gathered for a song? But teaching is the primary role of mothering. Teaching and learning, and here now the book and the page and the spelling. Spelling's an important thing. Spelling is something you got to keep an eye peeled and you got to keep your eyes on the road there. Take your child with you. Experience the world. Go out and see all of humanity, all of its wonder, and be in the midst of things. And meet new friends. Oh, isn't that lovely? Oh, meet all kinds of friends. Oh, sometimes friends are a little overwhelming, aren't they? They come and you love them and they love you and they're friends. Also be careful. Keep your eyes open. Be aware. The fox amidst the hounds. Be aware. But don't jump to conclusions. Don't be too judgmental. Don't assume anything, even though it seems to be the case. Teaching involves teaching about where life comes from, about life, and where do babies come from? And you know, you've had that question, and it's easy to answer. Where do babies come from? We learn about romance from our mothers or from our parents. Parents, moms teach that. And it's an important thing to remember. This is from the movie Romeo and Juliet, the Paramount version. But this is romance. This is not necessarily the word love, and we need to differentiate. Love is a different word. Love is a word that in our religious tradition has a stronger connotation and one that we need to remember and that we love even sometimes when we're not even liking the people that we love. So love is important. Love teaches us pride. There's a pun here. Love teaches us courage. Moms teach us about courage and about those things to do and about to be adventurous. Yeah, ooh, we're all thinking, no mom's going to let their kid get on that, are they? But we also want to keep an eye on, and be curious. Can you read the note? It says, that wasn't chicken. Curious and new adventures. Sometimes we make mistakes and we have to apologize. You ever have to apologize? Not easy, is it? But moms teach us and that we can do it graciously and that it's the correct thing to do. We turn to mothers and we reflect on mothers and how they point us back to the master teacher. That's what our scripture was about, Mary and Martha, the master teacher. This is Rick Ottenreich. Picasso was famous for the art style of Cubism. And I think that's Cubism. Would you call that Cubism? Impressionism? Cubism? We're not sure. Expressionism? Okay, all right. The first time I pulled that up, I thought, that's got to be Picasso. It is not. This guy's name is Heike. I don't know if that's how it's pronounced. But there it is. There's the master teacher, Mary and Martha, and interestingly, there, the Spirit. The Spirit in the midst. And the master teacher teaching. There is only one thing that's important. Sometimes we get caught in that, don't we? We have agendas. We have life to live. We have all the jobs we have to do, and we forget. We forget to turn to the master teacher. And here, we remember that. We remember Martha. Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part. And we have to remember that. There is an ode to a wonderful wife in Proverbs 31. And it's intriguing because it's a little dated. It is all in reflection of how she shows her husband to be wonderful in the gates. And so her identity is defined through his. Written how many thousands of years ago, it is sexist in our modern terminology. But parts of it are important. She opens her mouth with wisdom and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain. But a woman who loves the Lord is to be praised. Amen? Amen. We learn about the tree of life from our mothers. We learn about that journey. And so this morning, you know, I thought we should just talk about moms. Is that okay? We'll just talk about moms. Here's the mom. Is this your mom? I looked at this picture and I thought, that's not exactly how I remember my mom at all. Not even close. This is the image that I thought should have been my mom growing up. June Cleaver. How many of you were a June Cleaver? You know, okay. Was your mom June Cleaver? I never ever saw my mom serving dinner or cooking in the kitchen in high heels. Not even once. But there's something about that that it is deeply rooted in our psyche. This modern show of Mad Men, they reflected that same time, that same period, and something about that draws us. But I'm not sure it reflects women and mothers the way I think of mothers. Here are some real women, mothers in the 1950s. Do you know these women? Anybody know these women? Quite famous women. This one up in the upper right and this one in the lower left. The first one, that's Louise Shepard. Her husband happened to be the first American to go into space. You remember Alan Shepard? That was her husband. This is Annie Glynn. You remember John Glynn? That's a spouse. So here they are. Here's their names. These are the Mercury 7 wives. Life magazine. Do you remember when the Mercury 7 were the heroes? They were the cat's meow ever. And here they are dressed in the 50s. I still don't remember my mom looking like that, except maybe a graduations or something special. So what do 50s, what do moms look like? What did our moms look like? Well, let's back up. Let's back up historically. What moms were moms? Madonna? Mary and the baby Jesus? That didn't fit my mom either. That's a little too far back. So we need to kind of take that apart, and I'm not sure we can grasp how our mothers were. I remember my mother always working, and taught me, as a matter of fact, my grandmother's the one that just says, laziness will kill you, is what the meadowlarks say. When the meadowlark sings, she says, do you know what that's saying to you? Laziness will kill you. That was my grandmother. Nobody else heard that? Next time you hear a meadowlark, it never really worked for me either, but that's neither here nor there. So So, moms, A to Z, shall we? Let's take a look at modern moms today. May, A. A is for Africa. A is for Afghanistan. A is for American. She's famous. Let me think. She's Kardashian. Somebody Kardashian. Anybody know any Kardashian? Some American. A is for Australia. Australia. I would like to raise my kids in Australia. No television, no iPods, no iPhones, no distractions. And no what? No. And no clothes either. B is for baby in a basket. How many of you went places with your mom this way? How about B is for buzz in your cheek? Look at the smile. How about C is for China? Trying to debate what is being carried here. It's a black and white photo. I tried to look at it more closely, but it doesn't matter. Here's mom at work. How many of your moms carried bamboo poles with baskets hanging on them? Maybe not for us, but in their culture. C is for contagious smiles. Who could smile more than that? C is for Cambodia. Look at this little guy. He owns the world. Look at the look on his face. It is all his ice cream cone. And look at mother's pride. D is for dozing. Now, when's the last time you held a sleeping baby and dozed with it? E is for Ecuador. I was looking for a Bolivian mom with those hats that they wear. This one, I don't know if you can see it, but it says Gap on his hat. It's not quite the same. G is for mom's mom, for grandmas. Weren't they moms too? Didn't they help raise us? Don't they continue? And some of us are grandmoms now, aren't we? H is for happy Haitians. I is for Native American Indians. I thought about having a slide with the archetypal picture of a Native American and all the dress and the attire that we grew up with in the 50s and 60s, and thinking those are gone, but Native Americans are alive and well, Haswell and Eads. We travel out there as part of our ministry with our conference in remembrance of Sand Creek. And we remember Native Americans in that place. I is for Iraq. That could be right on the streets outside here in Aurora, couldn't it? This guy in Israel is just about as exciting as any kid getting a checkup with a stethoscope, isn't he? I is for immigrants. This picture was a Polish woman who coming to America with her child. And I paused and I thought, I should do a whole sermon of just how we are the immigrants, aren't we? I don't know if any of us are Native American in here, but if we aren't, then we are the same immigrants as well. I would have loved to have had a photo of the Freitag family when they came from Germany. Back then they didn't have those photographs. They just aren't existing. And the backside of that is future generations. What are they going to do with the hundreds of thousands of photos that we have to give to them, huh? What are we going to do then? And selfies. J is for Japan. Aren't those Oshkosh bagosh jeans? K is for the Kalahari. L is for Laotian. Look at the little guy. I don't think she dresses up like this all the time because he is just absolutely thrilled with all the stuff that he's playing with there. Isn't that fun? And look at the pride in her face. M is for modern Mayans in the Yucatan. We traveled to them, to the Mexico, and we went out on the Yucatan Peninsula. And I used the term Mayans in the past tense, and the guy looked at me and said, "We're still here. We're the Mayans of today." And I thought, duh. M is for Muslim. Look at that lovely mother and child. N is for nappies. Now, this is a famous, the baby's famous, I think. Let me think now. You know, in nappies, in the Brits call diapers nappies. The baby's George. Isn't that his name, Paula? Prince George. That's who it is. That's who it is. How would you like to have the queen changing your baby's pants? P is for Pakistan. P is for Peru. Look at her face. Look at the pride. Look at the baby. He's seeing something even more exciting down the road. P is for the Philippines. P is for a proud mom. And the baby looks just as excited being all bundled up as everyone does, don't they? First thing they want to do is throw everything off.
S is for Scandinavian. S is for the slums of India. If we're going to travel the world, if we're going to see all of the moms and explore all of the moms, we need to see all of them. Not just the ones we want to see, but the reality of all of the world and all of the moms struggling to raise their children well. S is for South Pacific Islanders. Did you know that this is South Pacific Islanders month? How many South Pacific Islanders can you name? Hawaiian, Samoan, Tongan, who else? Fiji, who else? Tahiti? Who? Samoa, yeah, I think I got Samoan. So hug a South American Pacific Islander today. You might warn him beforehand, okay? Look at that smile. She has the world by the thumbs, doesn't she? She's got it under control. S is for Syria, for Syrian, for refugees there. Think of the mothers and their children trapped in the middle of that conflict. And think of them and us. T is for Tanzania. I love this picture. There are two peekers here. Can you see them? See this one peeking? See that one peeking? They got the camera sighted in on. Isn't that a lovely picture? T is for teenage moms, because we have them. And because we got to love them. And they may need more help and more grandmothers and mothers and adopted pseudo-mothers. T is for a tattoo. I don't think this would have been on Madonna, or it would not have been on June Cleaver either. I'm just not thinking that she would have made that fit quite the same. But isn't it true that she can be just as loving a mother? Look at his hairdo. And he's digging it. V is for veiled. Do you think the little one is veiling its face as well? Or just embarrassed? Or is it just one of those child moments? I'm just overwhelmed. W is for working moms. Any of you new working moms? Did any of you live as working moms? Are any of you working moms today? And we honor those working moms. And those working moms. And those working moms. Look at this guy. He's sleeping on the commute to work. Working women. There you go. They are incredible mimics. I have to tell you a story. And when I served in Johnstown, they had a preschool. I went down there one day, and they had this elaborate play kitchen, three-year-olds, plastic, everything. And so there's all the food, and you can get it out of the refrigerator and pretend to cook it. And play. This little girl was over there, and she had a pretend plastic spoon on her shoulder, and she was going, mm-hmm, yeah, mm-hmm. And she was just cooking and carrying on the conversation. I should have filmed it. I should have caught her. M is for Mr. Moms, too. Remember that movie? G is for grandpas. Do grandpas do a good job of babysitting? Keep an eye on them every minute. Here's an interesting picture. I found the picture, and I thought, I don't understand the heading quite. And these two women, they went to the hospital to have, they don't know each other. They just ended up in the hospital at the same time because they're both due. And they went in the hospital, and when they came out, somehow the babies got switched. And so they went home with each other's babies, and for some period of time they raised those babies and loved those babies and nursed those babies. And then they found out that the babies had been swapped, so they had to come back together. Well, now you've mothered each other's children. And something important has happened. These families will never, ever be completely apart ever again, will they? They built some kind of a bond there accidentally. And I thought about that. And I thought about all of the strife and struggle and politics in the world, and I thought, here is a way to bring nations together. Mothers and babies. Matter of fact, a fellow by the name of Sting, you heard of Sting, he's a musician. 1985, travel back with me to 1985, Reagan is president, Gorbachev, the head of Russia, and it is the height of the Cold War. And we have more nuclear missiles than have ever been in the silos and aimed at each other between
the United States and Russia. And you remember living during that time, it was unsettling. It always ached at the back of your mind that there was the potential to destroy the planet three times over. Sting wrote a song. He called it The Russians. And it was about the world, and it says, "Believe me when I say to you, I hope the Russians love their children too. We share the same biology regardless of ideology. What might save us, me and you, is if the Russians love their children too." There's something important here. Perhaps this is where we need to come down and stop, and when we see different people in different countries and different nations, think of the mothers and the children in those nations and think of our connectedness. Peek-a-boo.